Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seats with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, because Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love some holiday movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, recording on Sunday afternoon, December 17th, 2023, for your Monday morning, December 18th, listening pleasure. My guests today, taking time out of their busy holiday schedules, are two returning champs and a first-timer. They are Adam Green, Simon Schellen-Jones, and Jeff Tate.
Hello!
Hi!
I thought Simon might have left already, just out of disgust. Get my name right, you filthy animal. So, let's meet everybody individually, alphabetically, by first name. Sorry, Simon. Joining us, it's an unfair twist. Joining us for, he just won during his very own Yorkie-thon. It's Adam Green. Hey, Adam.
Hi. I am so excited to be the returning champ because I never thought this day would come. And the fact that I wound up beating Sam Levine and Joe Lynch when I've never made it past the first round of any Doug Loves Movies that I've ever been a part of. I'm going to be sad if I have to give up the title today, but it's probably going to happen.
You know, it's I got two strong competitors here today going up against you, Adam, but you did take down Sam Levine's, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time.
And then
Joe Lynch is, I feel like you and Joe Lynch almost kind of share a brain. You both know a lot about the same kinds of movies, but you still managed to slay them both. And while doing it, raise money to save cute little Yorkies.
Yeah, we raised $35,355 this year, which was great.
Whoa, that is really an impressive number.
Yes, that's like 12 and a half Yorkies saved.
Yeah, for like 3 6 to 8 hour shifts, you and other filmmaker, almost called you co-filmmakers, other filmmaker Joe Lynch basically sat and talked to guests, probably mostly about horror, I'd imagine.
It was a lot of horror. It was a lot of horror.
Well, because, you know, it's your fandom from your not only your films, but also from your podcast, The Movie Crypt.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a fun, I assume, a very fun audience because you raise a lot of money every year. And you talk about a lot of really insider horror kind of stuff. And it's fascinating. And I always love coming out to visit at your crazy studio.
Yeah, I think you've been a part of almost every single one. I think you've only missed one or maybe two, and this was our eighth. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and out of all the horrifying masks and statues and posters and things that you have all assembled in that one room like a scary shit museum, it's like any single one of those things standing in a corner would creep me out to no end, but a whole room full of it is somehow comforting.
It is, right?
When they're all together, some, you know what they say, keep your enemies close. Keep your demons close. But thank you for joining us and good luck today, Adam. Our second champ on today's show is all the way back from Tacoma in October, I think, is your last appearance on the show. It's great to finally get you back, Jeff Tate.
Hey, how's it going, Doug?
It's going good. Dude, I'm looking forward to SF Sketchfest in San Francisco. This hasn't even been announced yet that you're going to be joining me on Sunday, January 21st. You're going to be interrupting the Fast X, the 10th movie in the FNF saga. You, me, Arden Marine, Daniel Van Kirk, and Lane Moore are going to be on microphones for the entirety of that motion picture at 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock at the Great Star Theater, sfsketchfest.com for tickets. Did you, Jeff, get some new information there?
No, yeah, I didn't know who I was going to be on with, and I'm very excited. It's very exciting.
It's a sweet lineup, and it'll be a lot of fun. And, yeah, I look forward to seeing you there, dude.
Oh, me too. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I can't wait. SFSketchFest.com.
Yeah. Say it again for people that do not have a rewind function. Yeah. Or don't follow my socials where I talk about this stuff constantly. Also joining us today for the first time, he's directed, the credits are crazy, episodes of The Diplomat, Ballers, Jessica Jones, Bloodline, to name a few, and he's now got a movie out starring Mark Wahlberg. I bet you Jeff's seen it. It's called The Fam Plan. It's the aforementioned Simon's Kellen Jones.
Doug, how nice. Hello. Nice to see you. Very honored to be on. Slightly nervous about the towering intellect up against me here, but you know, I'll settle for third. But really excited to be with you.
These two fellas have never been called a tower of intellect. That's very generous. Apple Plus is where we can go to see The Family Plan. Tell us what I know you've probably done lots of press for it, but what's your description?
It's an awful lot of fun. It's one of those quiet, loving suburban dad living in Buffalo, New York, with his slightly boring, slightly dysfunctional family. Suddenly has his past catch up with him, and he's forced to take his family on a road trip from Buffalo to Las Vegas, that famous American city. And it's an action comedy, which is hopefully exciting and funny. And it's the most fun I've had making a film anyway. And Mark Wahlberg is I think fantastic in it. So yeah, watch it on Apple Plus several times in a row.
I mean, I've gotten the impression over the years that Mark Wahlberg is probably is a secret some sort of agent or something.
All I can tell you is that occasionally at the weekend he would disappear. We didn't know where he went, but he came back. He's very professional on all levels, I guess.
I love it. Yeah, so everybody can, you know, when I say watch it now, I mean either hit pause and watch it, go watch it, or you know, watch it immediately after this. But other than that, there are no other options.
Thank you. Exactly correct.
Those are the two things you can do from this point. It's my own personal Squid Games. All right. Speaking of games, we're going to play some in a little bit. But before we do that, I would like to visit Recommendation Nation Holiday Dish. And this is the last holiday edition of this segment of the year, because we are obviously right up against it. The next episode I do is going to actually come out on Christmas Day. But enough about that. Each of you, please recommend one holiday movie that folks can enjoy this season. Adam, start us off. You said Gremlins last time. That was a runaway hit with the listeners as a favorite of theirs as well. So you have something maybe people haven't heard of?
I think a lot of people might have heard of this one by now, but I'm going to go with a movie called Rare Exports. If nobody else has mentioned that one yet, came out in, I want to say, 2010. It's a fantastic movie. It's from Finland, and it's just a really dark take on Santa Claus. But a ton of fun, and just not like the usual Christmas fare. So if you're sick of always reaching for movies like Gremlins, to try to have a little bit of a horror fix with your Christmas, then definitely check out Rare Exports.
You seem, Adam, like a guy, if this sounds like a compliment, please take it as such, that you could make like a horror film, like in another language.
I did do that once.
You did?
Yeah. I was part of an anthology called Chillerama, and I was assigned the title of The Diary of Anne Frankenstein. And I did not want to do it, because who wants to touch that? But right. They convinced me to do it. And so I did it as a 1940s German film. And I cast all German actors, except for the actor playing Hitler, who I taught no German to. And he just faked it through the movie. And what's funny is, in America, it takes about halfway through the 30-minute movie before the audience realizes that this guy is not actually speaking German. But in Germany, when we showed it in Stuttgart and in Berlin, within 3 seconds, they're laughing really loud. I did teach him a couple German phrases, but I lied to him about what they meant. So, for instance, the very last thing Hitler says, the very last thing that Hitler says is, "Why is everyone so mean to me?" And I'm like, "I want you to say this one in Germany. So say this." And what he was actually saying in German is, "I'm such a shitty actor."
Wow.
It's a lot of fun. And it's just 30 minutes making fun of Hitler. So before you get offended by it. It's not offensive.
You really punk that guy. It's bad enough he's playing Hitler in something that's being recorded.
Oh, he had to grow the mustache and walk around with that for two weeks. Yeah, it was horrible. But that's a true friend right there.
I'm so used to the fake, you know, like the Hitler mustache that Chaplin had, that like when I see actual Hitler, it looks like a fake mustache. It's just like a lot of Groucho's facial hair. I'm like, is that like how everybody else does it? Like with just black masking tape? all right. So Rare Exports. Well, you hit it out of the park. I was like, you know, something nobody's heard of. And you're like, hey, well, how about this shit from Finland? What do you think of that? And I think I love it. Jeff, you've had some time to think about it. You've been hearing this esoteric discussion.
Yeah, I'm going to say I might have even done this one in one of the years past, but because we definitely interrupted it once around Christmas, and it is The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's a good one.
That's such a good one. That's really, they say that Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is Christmassy also.
Yeah, there's Santa hats and stuff for sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one in a minute, but you know, everybody this time of year, it's really become a tradition to argue about which movies are Christmas movies or not Christmas movies. It's not a designation that matters ultimately. You know, like if we were burning all the Christmas movies, then it would be I would want to argue about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But since they'll continue to exist and be a Christmas movie, whether you want it to be or not, you know, that's just the way it is. But let's talk about this movie for a second. We have the popular performing artist Charlie Baltimore got her name from the main character in this film, played by Gina Davis.
Yeah.
Who put her money where her action star mouth is by becoming like a almost Olympic level archer.
Yeah, she did.
She competed in archery events.
That's incredible.
I forgot if she went to the Olympics or not. But anyway, her and Sam Jackson. Sam was some of the funniest Sam Jackson lines. Like, you know, several of the classics are in that movie. And it's real wintry and Christmassy, even though it's violent. So good pull, Jeff. You could say that every year, and I wouldn't complain.
I might, and I wouldn't even remember.
Well, that's the other thing, is we're not sure if you said it before or not, but it sure feels like something you would say.
It definitely does.
Yeah, that thing you just said feels like something you would say. Simon, where are you at with this? Could you recommend? I know.
Well, yes,
Christmas is kind of a rude topic for you, maybe.
No, I like a bit of Christmas. Here's a weird one. Jeff nearly stole me there because I'm a Shane Black person here. I'm saying Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
There you go.
I just watched it for the first time the other day. I'm slightly cheating because it's got Michelle Monaghan in it, who's in my movie, who is brilliant in both. But you know, it's one of those we all like ourselves a little bit of Shane Black, a little bit of self-reverential writing, a bit of fun. It's got one of my favorite lines in it, which is, that girl's slept with more people than she's had hot dinners. And Robert Downey says, oh, it was, I heard it was touch and go, and then she skipped lunch. I mean, it's not really a Christmas movie, but it sort of is. You admitted it yourself, Doug, there. And I think Shane Black likes a bit of Christmas. I think it's a funny film. I think it's sort of got that. I love a bit of self-knowing from those Hollywood writers without them being too smug about it. And I think he balances it right. And I think it's Robert Downey Jr. coming back like a little whirlwind, obviously going on to do really cool stuff. And anyway, I watched it literally in a hotel room in Las Vegas the other night, and I went, oh, it's kind of Christmassy. I'm into it. So that's my pick.
It is kind of like Robert Downey Jr. was, you know, kind of staging a comeback, but also that sort of persona in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is very kind of Tony Stark-like, you know, like it's already, you know, a bit of an anti-hero at the center of that movie.
Exactly. And yeah, you're right. You can sort of see the birth of the leap from his character to Tony Stark is a long one, but you can see the air through which he travels.
Yes. Yes. And that's why I say give him the Oscar, give him everything for Oppenheimer, because his speeches will be, you know, really eloquent. And he's been amazing for years and was really down and out for a while and made a comeback. And like, there's no better person or time, even though, you know, I think he's just as good as Iron Man as he is as Oppenheimer opposition man.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Good way of putting it.
I turn every character in movies like Oppenheimer, I just still give them a superhero character name.
They're all part of that universe. It
I
makes
still
sense.
Call them, yeah, whatever man or whatever woman. You know.
Yeah. And there's E equals MC squared man is in that movie as well, I think, isn't he? And you know, all those guys.
There's some real ones too. I just realized Florence Pugh is, what's her character? Black Widow? No.
Yelena.
Oh, that's it? She doesn't have like a superhero name?
She's the Black Widow's sister.
Oh,
that's okay. All like that. Yeah, no name. Yeah.
So she's so like if they're like fighting people together, if they're like tag team fighting somewhere, one yells to their, "Hey, Black Widow," and the other one yells, "Yelena."
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And Yelena doesn't do any of her shit with a mask on. She's just out there, out and proud.
I mean, as far as I know, I've only seen her in the movie.
Right.
And the Hawkeye show.
I wasn't asking about her personal life.
No, I don't. Like, I for some reason thought you were asking me a comic book question. I don't know anything about the comic books.
It's all so confusing these days, keeping track of all the IPs and what they're all up to all the time. But thank you for these three recommendations. This is these are some fun options. I might actually watch all three of these between now and Jesus' birthday. Let's take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. We are back. And during the commercials, that's how fast they went by for me. I don't know about everybody else, but they went by so fast for me. I forgot to take a sip of a drink. So give me just 1 second here. Oh. Mm. Mountain Dew. It always satisfies. Jeff, what is Mountain Dew's current slogan?
Oh, I don't know. Do the do, probably.
Oh, just do it. Or do the do it. Do it. Do it to it.
Yeah, just it's. I mean... It. Do it to it is probably right.
That was in the 80s, wasn't it?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, but when you have something that good, why would you change it?
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect as is.
Yeah. So I think you're right, Jeff, with the first one. I think it's do the do. I think that's why I couldn't think of this, because why would it be do the do? Oh, now I want to drink it. I wasn't interested until I heard the words do the do. Let's play some games.
All right.
I got two games prepared for everybody. And quick discussion before we play this first game. Has anybody, any of the three of you, had a chance to see Wonka?
Not yet.
No,
not yet.
Okay, great. These are all questions. No, I'm kidding. I sat and watched the movie and wrote down some questions. No, I haven't seen it as well, which is interesting because the four of us are all movie lovers and we're, active in viewing films, but also there's a lot to keep up with these days. Jeff, I'll start with you. Are you going to see it?
Yeah, I might go. I'll probably go see it next week when I get back home. I've just been traveling every day for 2 weeks, basically.
Yeah, see, I thought that would be the case with that because you'd see most of the big releases.
I do, yeah, I do like to see that kind of shit, so I'm into it. I'll go see it.
Oh, and are you mad at the makers of that movie and Mean Girls and Color Purple for cutting trailers that do not give the impression that the movies are musicals?
Yes, then I am, yes. Now I had no idea it was a musical.
Yeah, for some reason now they've been called out on it, but all of the movie studios, or these three movies anyway, just suddenly there's this rash of, I know, like last year with Matilda, I think they pulled that, but it's just funny to see, obviously there's, you know, trailers are powered by music, but that doesn't, they don't ever show people singing and dancing like it's a musical. And I've done that with all those movies, like, and it will trick some people for sure. But I also, it's a funny thing. I personally think it's a funny trick because I would rather there be more musicals. So people that are so angry about something being a musical makes me laugh.
But what about the people that really like musicals? And they don't know that this is that. Like, they're going to get left out.
I tell you something about people that really like musicals. They'll sniff it out.
Okay.
The clue with both Mean Girls and Color Purple is that they're based on recent Broadway musicals of those movies. is basically what those are. Same with Matilda was that. And what was the other example? Oh, Wonka. Wonka is an interesting one. They decided to write some new songs and go for it with Wonka. And I heard that's the least appealing part about it is the new songs, but that's just hearsay. I don't know for sure. You're in trouble when you stick a couple of the songs from the Gene Wilder one into your movie, because now all the songs are compared to it. So it's a tricky balance. What about you? Adam, are you going to see it?
Okay, I'm just going to be honest. Probably not. But I always take a lot of grief for this on my own podcast, but I don't really see as many of the big movies as I used to. I checked out on Marvel, I think, with the first Avengers. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Got out early.
Well, yeah, that's very early.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And the thing is, like, they're great movies. I'm like, they're well made. I get it. It's just not for me. They're too long, basically. And it's the same thing happens in every one of them. Mm-hmm. Sorry if I just spoiled that for anyone, but there's nothing at stake. Like, you know how it's going to end. So if it was 90 minutes, I could do it, but I can't do 2.5 hours of the same animated sequence.
I'll tell you this, Adam, real quick, that Superman with Christopher Reeve, the first one, ruined superheroes for me for good. I mean, I've enjoyed plenty of superhero movies since then, don't get me wrong, but that's because I just enjoy action mostly. Yeah. But that one killed it for me, because as soon as you establish that there are superheroes in this world that can just turn back time.
Yes, I've said the same thing. Then nothing matters. Nothing
doesn't
matters.
Matter. They can just do that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, shit, I just broke my favorite coffee mug. Well, I'll just fly around the world real quick.
Yeah. Oh, I was actually worried. I'm like, oh, you did? But while we're talking about big movies, though, the one movie I was most excited for this year, which totally lived up to my expectations, was Godzilla Minus One. If anyone listening has not yet seen that, especially in an IMAX theater, it is unbelievable. It's a transformative experience, and it could save Hollywood, because they made that movie for under $20 million, supposedly. And it's better and bigger than most of the like $300 million spectacles that the US turns out. So
people are loving it, Adam. Yeah. They are going crazy for it. Everyone that likes that kind of stuff is telling me how great it is. I saw Dana Gould at a party, and that's all he wanted to talk about was just make sure I knew Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
And I tried to buy a ticket when I got to the box office. When I said the minus one part, they took the ticket back. So I couldn't.
But for real, it could save Hollywood. Bring back the mid-level movie again. And we could start getting, you know, 20, 30, you know, $20 million movies a year to choose from, instead of just like the 4 or 5 tentpole IP blockbusters. Not that Godzilla isn't an IP, but for what they made it for, it is mind-blowing. So if you can see it.
That's a fantastic answer to, are you going to see Wonka?
Yeah.
All I wanted to know.
I never needed a prequel to Willy Wonka. Unless they show how the grandparents exist in that bed, I'm morbidly curious. But other than that, I have no interest, no.
There must be some sort of joke at some point, like like just the scene where they're like his much younger grandparents, like in their younger days, because he's much younger. Like maybe there's like a quick shot of them shopping for a mattress or something. But that's actually Charlie Bucket's family. I'm getting all confused now. I didn't mean to mix up Wonka movies, but Simon, real quick, where are you at with this Wonka movie?
I haven't seen it. I'm definitely going to see it. It's a chocolate-based movie. That's always important to me. I'm very, very excited. You know, the origin of Wonka, the origin of chocolate, either way, I'm in. And I'm excited.
Oh, he invents chocolate?
I don't know, but I think he's involved with it in quite a deep way. And
it'd be funny.
He develops it.
they should have just taken the Oppenheimer storyline that all the people are loving these days and applied it to Wonka, like show that ultimately he feels guilty for inventing chocolate.
Oh, you're selling me on this movie, man. Like, I don't
know, you know, because it ends up being so bad for so many people.
And it's a musical.
But, and as he discovers it, everyone's putting on these masks and it goes totally silent. It's beautifully portrayed, though, the invention of chocolate. And as you say, the world, he has become destroyer of people's bellies because they become fat with chocolate.
Yeah, I hear there's some, you know, I get that it's kind of coming from the original point of view of Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka books is like, you know, about how greed and gluttony are bad. But like, apparently there's some, you know, some humor aimed at, you know, overweight people in this Wonka that, you know, mild protests. I haven't heard a huge stink about it, but it's still always interesting when, you know, how far do you want to go at this point with, you know, what comes off maybe as fat shaming or making fun of people. But you never endanger that when your actor is Mark Wahlberg. Am I right? That guy.
I have seen him eat chocolate, but it was like one square, and you know he went and he threw it up. Run afterwards.
That's so much worse than if you'd never seen him eat it. That makes me so much more angry.
He just eats one chocolate square and then punches something for 12 minutes.
That's right. Yeah,
until he feels like it's gone, then he gets another one. I don't know. I don't know his overall diet plan, but it's working. And
it's working. Yeah, yeah. He's. I've been to the gym with him, I'd like to say, but fortunately, I was able to claim that I had a sore shoulder, so I just chatted while they worked out, and I just sat on the chair. So they work hard, and it was early, but I was able not to get involved.
Just sitting around. Sitting around the gym, just talking to somebody who's working out, it's just glorious. Yeah.
I wanted to smoke, but I thought it would be rude.
All right, so all of this is to say, all of this talk about Wonka is to set up a game that I came up with to celebrate. I celebrate the existence of all movies, big or small. And so this game is called Wonka or Wanker. I'll say a line from a movie and your job is to tell me if it was said by Willy Wonka as played by Gene Wilder in the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or said by Willy Wonka as played by Johnny Depp in the remake Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or some other wanker. So your options with each answer are Wonka, Charlie, or other. Wonka, Charlie, okay. Or other. I'm not going to make everybody say wanker. And so we start with Adam. I'll say the line and you tell me which one of those three you think applies to it. And if you're wrong, then Jeff gets to play from the two remaining. And if he's wrong, Simon gets the first gimme point because there's only one choice left. Each time somebody gets one right, we start with the next person in order for the next round. First person is 2 points wins. It's fast and exciting, but go ahead and take time to think before blurting out an answer.
Okay.
Adam, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. all he cares about is the candy.
Oh, come
pardon
on.
Pardon me. All he cared about was the candy. Excuse me. All he cared about was the candy.
All right. I'm going to go with the Johnny Depp Wonka because I don't remember that from the Gene Wilder one.
Right. You don't think it could be some other wanker?
I mean, any of these could be, but I'm going to assume you're not going to start with a wanker, but Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna go with Johnny Depp.
Okay, that's your answer. I'm locking it in, and here's the sound response. Incorrect.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That means we go to Jeff. He's got two choices. It's either OG Willy Wonka or some other wanker says all he cared about was the candy.
I mean, you're really throwing me because I can't believe you somehow guessed the name of my memoir. So I'm just going to have to go with some other wanker.
Meaning yourself?
Yeah. It's going to be published 100 years after my death, like Mark Twain's thing.
Smart.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. That way I won't even know when it doesn't get published.
Right. When there's no such thing as publishing, it won't matter to you because you'll be gone. All right, here we go. Here's the sound response to your answer. That is correct.
Yeah.
That is the correct answer that I was looking for. Some other wanker said all he cared about was the candy. And that wanker was the character Bing Bong in Pixar's Inside Out.
Oh.
So Jeff is on the board with 1 point, but Simon is coming up right behind with an opportunity to get a point because you got to go first on this one, Simon.
Okay, nervous but ready.
You can do this.
You got it.
First Wonka, second Wonka. Let's go Wonka 1, Wonka 2, or some wanker.
Okay.
Said this out loud in a motion picture. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
Oh. I'm jumping. I'm nervous. Can I have an hour? Can I go on the internet?
Can I go watch some movies?
Let's take a break, everybody. Let's give him an hour.
I wasn't told this was going to be stressful, guys. I was thinking you said it would be. Oh my god, I'm going to go Wonka 1 as a reckless burst of 1 in 3 chance.
Wonka 1.
Wonka 1. That's Gene, isn't it?
Gene Wilder, the great late Gene Wilder. And I'm sorry, Simon. That is the correct answer. Adam, you got a chance. It's narrowed down to two options.
All right, I'm gonna go with Wonka 2. I'm gonna go with the Johnny Depp one.
Oh, you think he was like candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup?
Yes. Oh, god damn it.
Jeff, do you remember which one wasn't said?
I think it's, first of all, it's some other wanker, and I think it's an elf.
Oh, are you showing off now with your extra big brain? Yes, Will Ferrell in Elf. He says that those things, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup, are the four food groups.
See, it was on TV the other night in one of the hotel rooms.
There you go.
But it's also fun to imagine Johnny Depp saying that whole list as if, like, in Fear and Loathing, explaining what's in his drug suitcase.
I mean, he's got so many iconic roles and characters that flipping them around between movies would be fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what would happen if, you know, Jack Sparrow was in Donnie Brasco?
I don't think he would be as good an undercover agent, to be honest.
He'd still get the job done, though.
He'd just have a real hide and plain sight approach to that line of work.
Yeah.
All right, well, Jeff officially won that game. That just worked out in a silly way that he won it already. So let's Simon, let me do the third one for you. You can take the first stab at it and put a point on the board just for the heck of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Wonka 1, Wonka 2, or some other person, that's exploding candy for your enemies.
I would say, I'm thinking Johnny Depp there, but that is a nervous one, isn't it? Because Johnny Depp, of course, who, as I just realized, was in another chocolate-based movie called Chocolate. So, you know, that guy... wait a minute. Was that Johnny? No. Okay. Right, I'm going to go back. I want to say it's another wanker, but I'm going to go Wonka 1 because I passionately believed it last time and it didn't work for me. I'm going to go for Gene this time.
Gene Wilder says that's exploding candy for your enemies. That's correct.
Whoa, oh. But does that mean I don't get a point though?
No, we were just playing for fun. Was that fun?
Oh. Oh, no. What are we going to play for? Should we going to play for stakes?
I had fun.
That was just a fun one. And then, you know, if we needed a fourth one, there's always that chance. I was going to say, hello, my royal subjects. Ha ha, have some candy. Anybody with strong feelings about that one?
That sounds like a line from The Phantom Menace.
It's actually, I mean, you're not far off. It is from a children's thing. It's from what do you call it? Wreck-It Ralph. Alan Tudyk as King Candy. It's more like, hello, my royal subject. Have some candy. All right. Which is just, he was just doing an impression of that guy, Edwin, from Mary Poppins. Okay. That was a great game. Congratulations to whoever it was that won that. You did a fantastic job. It was Jeff. Now it just came back to me. Jeff wins the fabulous opportunity. In fact, he's forced to go first in our second and final game that will determine it all. And we will play that after these messages. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back, and that was tense. That was a tough waiting period because It's anybody's game today. Adam gets to go first in our next game, but that doesn't mean squat. it's just the most random things can happen, and the games themselves can be so random. And we, of course, flip the order around for this next game. So Adam won the opportunity to be first, but then he'll be followed by Simon and then Jeff. And we're going to play a game that was suggested by Worth the View Movies, is the name of the account on Threads. I assume he, you know, tells you which movies are worth the view. And he suggested a holiday variation of our classic game, Alex's Jason and Deb's IMDb game. And he called it IMDBXMAS. I'm glad you're into Christmas, Simon, because everything ended up being so Christmassy in this episode. What time of year does the family plan take place?
The family plan takes place, I guess, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Okay.
We don't really...
I'm sorry. That's incorrect. That's incorrect. I'm sorry. Jeff, it's your turn to guess.
3-day 4th of July weekend.
Also wrong. No, so it's, so I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. So it's between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's in that extra intense family period, so obviously a much more difficult time for him to be preoccupied.
Exactly. They, it takes place in that 2 days just before they put up Christmas decorations, because we couldn't afford to put, dress every set with Christmas decorations.
I love it. That's amazing. Oh. That's a great reason for that. And you know, the Christmas movies, I think they overdo it with the Christmas stuff, because you know, I assume this movie would probably be pretty damn entertaining year round, so you don't really need to lay the Christmas
right.
part.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to be on too thick. Okay, so here's how this game works. I name an actor or actress that has a IMDb page. And I'm sorry, I'll do the IMDb page of a specific Christmas movie. And so for each movie, it'll have like four pictures up at the top of the page. And those are considered to be the top four billed people, either by IMDb or by, you know, the makers of that particular movie. So I'll tell you one name, and then each of you get one guess of what movie, what specifically a holiday movie this person starred in. If you don't get it, I'll tell you the second name from the top best known, you know, the top four names according to IMDb, and each person gets a guess. We'll continue through all four names. And if I get through four names of any of these titles and all three of you are still stumped, I'll be shocked, but also delighted. So do with that what you will, because anyway, you'll see what I mean. I think it's sounding harder than it is. And just like the last game, when somebody gets one right, and the next round will start with the next person in line. And we are starting with Jeff, right? Yeah, Jeff.
Adam. No?
I was going to say we should start with Simon.
Whoa. No.
He's got a new movie out. We should be celebrating that right now.
Oh,
and
I
Simon
love that.
Should go first.
I love that approach. No, wait, it's Jeff, though, because Jeff won that last game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so so the order gets flipped around, so it goes Jeff, then Adam, then Simon. So sorry about that. Simon somehow ended up being in third place again. How'd I do that? That's not right.
Isn't it better to be in third place, though? Because then you get
it could be. Yeah, it could go either way, but
could go either way.
But I screwed up. It's going to go Jeff, Simon, Adam.
Okay.
flipping the order around. All right, here we go. The first to get three correct is our winner. And like I said, we're starting with Jeff. Jeff, please name the movie you think could be the correct full title of the film, a film that lists in the top billed first position, Tim Allen.
Oh, come on.
Oh, boy. I'm going to say The Santa Claus 2.
Now, why? Yep. What would compel you to not? He also, of course, starred in The Santa Claus and Santa Claus 3, 4, etc. What would make you say Santa Claus 2?
I think gamesmanship.
Well, it worked, you said. What the fuck? That is the correct answer, Santa.
That's you. Hey, you know I said I was dealing with towering intellects. You just proved my point, Jeff. I'm mortified to be working with such brains.
Impressive gamemanship on Jeff's part. The next actor is Spencer Breslin, then Elizabeth Mitchell and Eric Lloyd. I guess that's probably the whole Santa Claus 2 crew, like the family that Tim Allen has to deal with when he finds himself turning into Santa Claus again. Oh my God, this again, he says at one point. Okay, so congratulations, Jeff. You figured that one out. Let's see what happens when Simon gets to go first in this next round. The first actor listed in this Christmas movie's top four is Macaulay Culkin.
Right. Well, I'm gonna go. Home Alone 2.
What's that?
Home Alone 2.
Yeah. What's the full title of that one?
Is it Lost in New York?
It is, and that is the correct answer. You did it.
What? Oh, man.
Another towering intellect joins the game.
Oh, my God.
Anyone can be a towering intellect, eh? And now, Adam, it's your chance. Are you ready to show off your big brain?
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. What Christmas movie has first name in the top four? Vince Vaughn.
Okay. I feel like I should say Four Christmases 2, but I'm going to say Four Christmases 1.
Whoa, wow, you guys.
It's a real chess game. And that's your final answer is Four Christmases.
Yeah, I think that was the one he was in. I think. Right?
Yeah, no? Lock it in.
I'm locking it in, sure.
Okay, we're locking it in. Incorrect.
What?
Yeah, right? Something's up.
Who's next?
Jeff.
Oh, no.
Okay, so my guess is Fred Claus.
Oh! Damn.
Correct.
Oh, God. Down in flames. Was he in Four Christmases? Is that even a movie?
I forgot to list the other people in Home Alone 2 were Joe Pesci, Daniel Stern, and Catherine O'Hara. She got I think the order changed a little bit because John Hurt had a bigger role in the first one and less of a role in the second one. But then Vince Vaughn is the star of Fred Claus, is the title character. And then Paul Giamatti is Santa. Elizabeth Banks is a sexy elf, and John Michael Higgins is a regular elf. And
they're both sexy. They're just both sexy elves.
That movie, I find it strangely watchable around the holidays when it's on TV. It's very weird to just to start with. I mean, it was one thing for Will Ferrell to be running around saying, I'm an elf, but Vince Vaughn is really pushing it. That guy he's as big as they make people, and he's running around mad that he's an elf. I guess he's not supposed to be an elf. He's just supposed to be Santa Claus's wayward son. But anyway, this is such an exciting matchup. Who scored that last point? Jeff did. So that means, Simon, you're up first on this next one.
Okay, go on then.
Here we go. A Christmas movie starring Mr. Tom Hanks.
Is it the one where he's a cartoon?
Damn it.
I'm saying it's the one where he's got a funny, sort of slightly spongy face. Is it Polar Express?
Yes, it is.
Boom!
For the record, I knew everyone else's questions. I just did it on my own.
That's hilarious. Okay, so Simon's catching up here. but Adam gets to go first again this time. All right, Adam, you ready?
I am so ready. Can I remind everyone I beat Sam Levine?
We got to move on. We got to move on. Tom Hanks.
What?
Yeah. Tom Hanks.
Fuck. I can't think of another movie he was in. Is Splash a Christmas movie?
All right, go ahead and say what you were going to say. I thought you were going to spoil it, but what were you going to say about Polar Express?
Oh, that was going to be my answer, was Polar Express.
Oh, I see. Well, unfortunately, you can't say it again here. Can you think of another Tom Hanks movie? He would be the first person listed, and it's a Christmas movie.
Greyhound, it was cold.
Oh, it really was. You're right. You're right about that. All right. We're moving on to Jeff.
You've got mail.
That is correct.
I've never seen it.
Jeff, I've never seen it either.
That was impressive. Yeah, it's it's very Christmas themed. It's based on a Christmas movie called Shop Around the Corner, and it's they just kind of stole that thing. It's kind of like Sleepless in Seattle. You know how they don't meet until the end of the movie? It's like Sleepless in Seattle. If the two lovers are such idiots that they could constantly talk to each other in person before finally meeting late in the movie. They even live in the same city and they don't figure it out. It's wild, but it is fun to hear you've got mail a bunch of times whenever anybody logs in to check out what's going on with their romantic status. That's also one of those movies where two couples, and the two main characters, their significant others are instantly horrible, like unlikable people. So you're just like, don't feel bad at all that they fall in love with somebody else. Yeah, they're basically, they don't send sex messages, but it's still, it's definitely romantic or whatever. All right, so congratulations, Jeff Tate. You've done it again. You're running around the country right now somewhere. Of course, I'd invite you to join us on Tuesday night at the Improv here in Los Angeles to continue your championship run, but we'll just have you on again as soon as possible. And like I mentioned earlier, I'll see you at sfsketchfest.com. But what else would you like to plug, Jeff?
The first weekend of February, I'm at the Comedy Corner Underground in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So please come to that. It's going to be super duper cold. But it is the second and third of February.
Is that a selling point to just tell people it's gonna be really cold? So
not in the club. It's gonna be real. All these jokes are hot. So warm you up.
See, I knew you were driving at some sort of marketing angle by bringing up such a negative as the the cold weather. Thank you for being here, dude. And Adam Green raising tons of money for Yorkies. Where do people go if they want to still contribute to the Yorkie cause?
You can go directly to the rescue. It's saveayorkierescue.org. They are a fully volunteer nonprofit organization. Every penny that they get goes to helping these dogs. I know for some people, they're like, why specifically Yorkshire Terriers? That's just what this group started doing. All breeds need help. And because my dog Arwen is a Yorkshire Terrier rescue and the face of our podcast, that was why we chose them to help. But anything you can give goes a long way. These dogs have been horrifically abused in some cases and need help. And I just want to say it was a privilege and an honor. And I hope that no one forgets about the time that I beat Sam Levine and Joe Lynch, because that did happen. I swear.
I can guarantee you at least one person will never forget.
Yeah.
Sam. Yeah.
Sam.
And Simon, congrats. Congrats on the movie, Simon. I'm going to be watching it tonight.
Thank you very much. I'm going to replay this and see a way that I should have won. I'm sure I should have won, but you know, the intellect's carried it this time, but next time, I'm going to blow you away. Thank you very much.
The family plan is on Apple Plus right now. So now that we're wrapping it up, it's the perfect time to go watch it. And thank you so much for doing the show.
Loved it. Really good to meet you guys. Have a great festive season. Eat some chocolate.
You too. Yeah. I end every episode of the show with, real quick, my plugs. Tuesday, Improv Lab, Doug Loves Movies, here in L.A. With Wayne Fetterman and other surprise guests. And Sacramento, December 30th and 31st. Orlando, January 6th. Atlanta, Athens, Bakersfield, all coming up in 2024. DougLovesMovies.com for all my dates. And I end every episode lately with a line from a movie that was the last line spoken in the film. And so some of them are really, you know, great classic last lines, and others are just whatever somebody said before the credits started to roll. It weren't such important lines, but this is a pretty good one. This is from Sweet Bird of Youth. And one more time, thank you, Adam Green, Jeff Tate, and Simon Skellen Jones. And as always, you can go straight to hell.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.